The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
While it's often described as the last glass ceiling in America, if Kamala Harris is elected president on November the 5th, she will then become the first female president of the United States. But on whose shoulders would she be standing? While the narrative often holds that Hillary Clinton paved the way for Harris, there are many other women whose stories are perhaps less well known. Women who tried and failed to run for the presidency, but whose trailblazing attempts managed to shift American history in a particular direction. Simon Tierney, the host of Race to the White House, News Talk's weekly U.S. election podcast, joins me now to look at this. Simon, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Why has Kamala Harris tended to steer clear of this particular topic, do you think?
Well, I think it's really interesting how Kamala rarely, if ever, mentions the glass ceiling, unlike Hillary Clinton in 2016. And I suppose the thinking is this, Pat, is that Hillary didn't win the presidency. We need a different strategy to her, one that doesn't labour the fact that no woman has ever held this office before. And what I find intriguing is that the Republicans make out that the Democrats are obsessed with identity politics, yet Kamala barely mentions the significance of her own identity. Now, Hillary was rolled out at the convention in August, and she had this to say.
Together, we put a lot of cracks in the highest, hardest glass ceiling. And then there was 2016, when it was the honor of my life to accept our party's nomination for president. And nearly 66 million Americans voted for a future where there are no ceilings on our dreams. On the other side of that glass ceiling is Kamala Harris raising her hand and taking the oath of office as our 47th President of the United States.
Hillary Clinton speaking at the Democratic National Convention in August. Now, Simon, how far do we have to go back to locate the very first woman who ran for president?
1872.
My goodness.
The first woman to run for the presidency, Victoria Woodhull, a suffragette from Ohio, running on the ticket of the Equal Rights Party, obviously a minor party at that time. Woodhull, she was an extraordinary pioneer of women's liberation. She pushed for divorce, the ability for women to leave abusive relationships. She'd made her fortune when she had become the first female stockbroker on Wall Street, and she used those funds to finance her bid for the White House. But it all came to nothing when she was arrested for obscenity before the election for this salacious article that she'd ran in a newspaper she'd co-founded with her sister a few years previously. But of course, her candidacy was inevitably unlikely because women didn't get the vote until 1920 in America.
It sounds like her demise was down to dirty tricks, would you say?
I would say so, yes, definitely.
Now, I understand it wasn't until the 1960s that a woman would become a candidate for a major party's nomination.
Yes. Now, this was a Republican senator by the name of Margaret Chase Smith. She contested the Republican primaries, Pat, in 1964, the year that Barry Goldwater would end up losing to Lyndon B. Johnson. Now, Chase Smith, she's an interesting figure because she was a longtime presence on Capitol Hill. She'd been a congresswoman since 1940, obviously very few women in Congress at that time. She was 67 when she decided to run for the White House, but she was well known as a moderate. She'd made a name for herself a few years previously during the Red Scare when she delivered this very famous speech, still considered one of the most impressive speeches in congressional history, called Declaration of Conscience. And she denounced the McCarthyite hearings, Pat, as being this sort of witch hunt and an attack on free speech. Now, in this clip, this television interview from 1964, she gives her reasons for seeking the presidency.
For the first time in history, a woman has become a candidate for the office of president of one of the major political parties. And I am pleased to have her as my guest on this program today. She is United States Senator Margaret Chase Smith, a Republican from the state of Maine. Now let me ask you on the other side of the coin, what were your reasons for deciding you should be a candidate?
Well, that's good, putting it in the positive. For a year, I have been having letters from over the country asking me to think seriously about becoming a candidate for the presidency. I was highly complimented and not very serious about it. But when the letters looked like they were sincere, I did give it some thought. I looked over my own calendar, but I found that, of course, I don't have any time, I don't have any money, and I don't have any organization. But I do have what I consider one of the fine records in Congress. I seem conceited, but I'm not. I'm very proud of my record. And I think that 23 years of service to the people and legislatively are worthy of consideration, and I'd like to be president.
Thank you. Well, now, perhaps at this point, in view of your recent announcement, may I ask what kind of a reception has your announcement received? What are people saying and writing to you now?
Well, I'm getting a very large amount of mail. I said the other day if I could get half as many votes in New Hampshire as I'm getting mail in some of these states, I would be in. My mail is heavy. It's from every state in the Union and has been since the 1st of November. It is a very warm, not emotional, but a very stable, solid mail, appealing to me to be serious in this.
And that was Margaret Chase Smith speaking about her 1964 bid for the Republican nomination for president as she embarked on that course. But she said, no money, I would suspect no hope, Simon. How did she get on?
Yeah, she has that lovely mid-century accent that you don't hear anymore. She contested primaries in six states, past managing. She actually won 25% of the tallies in Illinois, so that was a significant dent that she made there. She finished fifth out of eight candidates, just after George Romney, Mitt Romney's father, and ahead of Henry Cabot Jr., the former ambassador to South Vietnam. So a pretty big step forward for women candidates.
Now, John F. Kennedy had something interesting to say about Chase Smith, I believe.
Yeah, I thought this was fascinating. So just 1 week before he was assassinated in November of 63, Kennedy was asked by pool reporters how he felt about the rumors that the senator might run in the 1964 election. And everyone laughed at the question. This idea of a female candidate seemed so outrageous to the almost entirely male press corps. But JFK took the question seriously and he said, "I think she is a very formidable, if that is the appropriate word to use about a very fine lady. She is a very formidable political figure," he said.
A compliment from JFK. Now, fast forward 8 years, and a star was born in the guise of Shirley Chisholm. Tell me about her.
Yeah, so Shirley Chisholm, she'd become the first black woman elected to Congress in 1968, Pat. There was actually a fantastic biopic made about her life on Netflix a couple of years ago. She was an improbable powerhouse, really. She was diminutive, 5'3", 7 stone in weight, a tiny woman, spoke with a charming lisp at a million miles per hour, as you'll hear in a clip in a moment. She had massive 1970s curly hair with thanks to the rollers and a steely determination not to allow the bastards get her down, basically.
And what happened in 1972?
Well, she became the first black woman to seek the presidential nomination from one of the two major political parties, in this case, the Democrats. And her run had probably, I think, the best campaign slogan I've ever come across. It was unbossed and unbought. And this was featured on her pins and her posters and billboards. Here she is, Pat, on Meet the Press on NBC in July of 72.
Well, I think you have to recognize, first of all, gentlemen, you have to really recognize that I'm doing something this country that's never really been done before. It's a question of inculcation, reorientation, and education. Never before in this country, ever since the inception of the Republic, have you had a woman seriously running for the presidency. I'm not talking about someone nominating someone at the convention as a mere gesture of symbolism and tokenism. I'm talking about someone that has been going out in the highways and byways for the past 7.5 months and saying to the American people that if indeed this is a multifaceted society, that Mrs. Chisholm also can be considered a person that can run for the presidency of this country. Others break in a tradition in which only white males have only been the gentlemen in this country that have guided the ship of state. So you don't expect people, black, white, men, or women, to suddenly overcome a tradition that has been steeped ever since the inception of this republic. So I understand that. I've broken the ice.
And from that clip, you can tell how impressive she was.
So sharp.
Even though the time wasn't ready for her candidacy. So she was speaking there on NBC in 1972. So what impact did Shirley Chisholm have on progressing the position of women and indeed black people in American politics?
Yeah, so 10 years after Margaret Chase Smith, she doubled the amount of primary ballots that she got on to 12. And at the DNC, she won 10% of the total delegate count. She had a brilliant line about the change that she'd effected, Pat, through the campaign and the emerging political opportunities for black women. She said, "The door is not open yet, but it is ajar." I love that.
Well, now we're going to talk about Patricia Schroeder, because what happened to her in 1987 demonstrates the many ways, the challenges that women politicians had to deal with.
Yeah, she was, Pat Schroeder, as she was known, she was a successful congresswoman in her own right. Not least, she'd fought a lot of misogyny in DC, not least the accusation that she couldn't do her job because she had two small kids. And she famously responded to this, Pat, by saying, "I have a brain and a uterus and I use both." She'd been chairing the presidential campaign of this well-known politician at the time, Gary Hart, who's still alive. And he was the front runner for the 1988 Democratic nomination. And when he had to drop out due to allegations of infidelity...
I remember that. The
boat
you? He was on, he was pictured with a woman sitting on his lap, and the boat was called Monkey Business.
Yes, it was kind of the Monkey Business affair, wasn't it? Yeah. So that photograph went viral. I don't know if they used that term in the 80s, but he had to drop out. And Schroeder was persuaded to run instead. But she couldn't raise enough money, ultimately, Pat. And the press fixated on her gender when, I suppose, she wanted, obviously, to focus on the issues. And she later quipped, "America was not man enough to elect a woman."
I understand there was a particular event where it all unraveled.
Yeah. Now, this was an infamous press conference in September 1987. She pulled her candidacy and she drew unjust criticism from some quarters when she broke down crying, prompting accusations of reinforcing stereotypes. Have a listen to this, Pat.
"Taking our Denver forum of open politics on the road this summer, I learned a lot about America and I learned a lot about Pat Schroeder. That's why I will not be a candidate for president. I could not figure out how to run and not be separated from those I serve. There must be a way, but I haven't figured it out yet. Summer's contacts were warm and wonderful. The spontaneity was terrific. And I could not bear to turn every human contact into a photo opportunity. Nor could I bear to be separated by people who were well-meaning, but trying to protect me. I would shrivel."
And that was the late Congresswoman Pat Schroeder there speaking back in 1987. The question still remains, is America man enough to elect a woman as president? There are many other women, Simon, who broke down barriers in presidential history. We haven't time to include them all. But Simon, you're hosting Race to the White House, the weekly podcast for News Talk about the American election. Episode 2 going live this afternoon on Go Loud or wherever you get your podcast. Simon Tierney, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Thank you, Pat.